In Mauritius, love and more are waiting in the wings. Amy's broken heart is well on the mend. But what will happen in Ruby's affair with Kevin? She's causing havoc in the team. With Fiona, Kevin's long-term partner in Mauritius, will Ruby behave when they go diving with the sharks? And who knows, what will happen at Peter and Lou's wedding on the beach? Can Amy face Paul, the one man she's hated all her life and who might turn out to be her biological father? And what of her inheritance, if Paul isn't her father and she isn't a De Rosavy? Will the truth destroy Amy? Previously, in Part 2, Thriving. Amy was shattered when her Uncle Alex revealed her family secrets and the tragedy of her parents' marriage. She was shocked to learn that her biological father wasn't Robert, the dad she'd adored until his premature death. However, Alex wasn't certain of Amy's father's identity. He strongly suspected it might be her Uncle Paul, the one man Amy had hated most of her life. The one individual she held responsible for depriving her of her inheritance and for expelling her from Mauritius. Amy needed a DNA sample from Paul. She required proof to claim her Rosavy inheritance. But Paul's health was rapidly declining. She had to visit him before it was too late. Meanwhile, Ruby was distraught. She wasn't pregnant with Kevin's child as she'd wished. The affair had spiraled out of control. Disharmony reigned in the Snow Beach team. And to make matters worse, Kevin's partner, Fiona, was coming to the island for Peter and Lou's wedding. Would Kevin be found out, causing sparks to fly? And Amy was lonely. After a painful long-term relationship with Julia, she was now ready to love again. Chapter 1. Learning at 54 that your father was someone else and not the dad you've loved all your life wasn't easy to stomach. I started to hate myself for not being Robert's daughter, but the daughter of a man like Uncle Paul. It was a visceral and irrational reaction that I couldn't control. However, I still needed proof. I had to visit Paul and collect material for DNA testing. I thought of ways of obtaining Paul's DNA without seeing him, but the more I thought about it, the less I found an answer. I considered bribing a servant to bring me a few hairs. I could pretend it was for a locket, but the servant would ask me why I didn't visit the sick old man. Besides, how would I be sure that these were Paul's hairs? I was stuck. I'd weighed up the outcome of the paternity test. As much as I'd hate to be Paul's daughter, it would be a million times worse if I weren't. It would mean that I wasn't a De Rosavy. I so desperately wanted to inherit my due share of the Rosavy estate. Being Paul's daughter would make it easy to get my hands on it. My past life in London, with my ex-partner Julia, the rich and mighty plastic surgeon, now seemed so remote and foreign to me that it felt as if it had been someone else's previous life. The person back then wasn't me anymore. Although only 5 months had passed since I'd become Snow Beach team coordinator with a fat paycheck, I'd come a long way from penniless and unemployed. I sat alone in our kitchen at Bellevue and patted my dog Missy, who jumped around me, yapping. She wanted me to take her for a walk, so I hurried to call Alex and make the final arrangements for the airport. Time had come for him to go back to London. He'd done his fair share to shape Rosavy's future, and he could be proud of it. "Which flight are you on?" I asked him. "I think Fiona's arriving on your incoming flight. If so, I can pick her up." Alex gave me his flight details and confirmed that I was right. Kevin's long-term girlfriend, Fiona, was joining him for a holiday and to attend Peter and Lou's wedding. I cringed at the thought of what could happen when Ruby met Fiona. I had to convince Ruby to quit her job before the explosive situation got out of hand.